The John 6 reading that we've just listened to could perhaps be summarized in one short phrase: eat the bread of God. And what I want to do this morning is to spend a few minutes taking apart that phrase and looking very simply at eating, at bread, and at life. Eat the bread of life. I'm going to do it backwards. Keep you on your toes. We begin with life. Jesus said, "The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." What do we mean by life? I've got three headings. Jesus is the bread of planetary life, of personal life, and of permanent life. Colossians 1:17 says of Jesus that in him all things hold together. It's as though everything in creation has been suspended by a thread. Somebody wrote about the whole of creation being suspended like a thread over the abyss of nothingness, waiting to tumble away and be gone. And Jesus holds the whole of creation in his grip. We are alive. The whole of creation continues to exist because Jesus supports it and sustains it. So when we hear bad news about fears of the nuclear capability in Iraq, when we hear good news about the START Treaty, when we hear news about pollutants and become anxious about the future of our planet, we need to remember that Jesus is the bread of planetary life. When we say grace at mealtimes, when we come to receive communion this morning, remember that we're not just coming to bread and wine. We're coming to worship the God of all creation, the one who sustains all things. Come and worship at his footstool. Jesus is the bread of planetary life. Jesus is the bread of personal life. In John 10:10, the scripture says, Jesus has come that we might have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. Some people say that word is best translated super abundantly. Jesus has come to give his followers super abundant life. So where are you? Would you describe your spiritual life as superabundant? What's your situation? Do you feel well fed or malnourished? Are you full of spiritual vitality? Or are you failing to thrive? Do you experience the depth of God's presence? Are you serving God in very clear and effective ways? Do you know the hand of God on your life? Has God given you gifts of power and a walk of effectiveness and usefulness in the kingdom? Are you obeying God? Or are there perhaps areas of your life, maybe well-kept secrets, where you deny the Lord Jesus? Jesus is bread for abundant life. Somebody once described Jesus as food for our souls. Are you getting soul food to eat? Jesus is the bread of personal life. Jesus is the bread of permanent life. In John 6 and verse 50, in the passage that we read, Jesus says, "There is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a person may eat and not die." And I sometimes fear that we have developed a kind of brand of Christianity which is for this life only. A kind of truncated faith, which is about blessing and serving God today. It's about knowing the presence of God in your life today, and that's where it ends. A faith for today that has forgotten the great tomorrow. I'd like to warn you against that. Faith that is for today only is not Christian faith. Beware of assessing what Christianity is all about by ruling off and balancing up the costs and benefits of Christian living in this life. You'll never balance that balance sheet this side of heaven. True Christianity never shows a net gain in this life. Jesus is the bread of permanent life. Christianity looks beyond the grave. At the Last Supper, when Jesus met with his followers and gave us the pattern for our communion service, he repeatedly looked beyond, that he would eat this bread again, drink this cup again, sitting down at the right hand of the Father. In some communion services, people say specifically that we eat and drink until he comes. So when you take the bread in your hand this morning, remember, you have there a down payment on the future. The bread of permanent life. Jesus is the bread of planetary life. Worship at his footstool. Jesus is the bread of personal life. How abundant is your life? Jesus is the bread of permanent life. If you eat, you have the bread of everlasting life. So let's look at bread in particular. Three things about bread. Daily bread. There's an element of daily routine here. In bread we see a basic, a simple, everyday requirement. Eating should happen every day. If you joined in our days of prayer and fasting, you know. Eating every day. If you don't eat, you begin to suffer. Hunger, malnutrition, starvation. Like the Israelites who were given manna every day. And the passage goes on to say that if you tried to keep the bread more than a day, then it would be filled with maggots and would stink. Love the eloquence of the Old Testament. Yesterday's manna, every day. And the lesson of this is that we need to come to God every day. The picture here is of a repeated coming. Come to Jesus again and again and again. Like coming to a supermarket. If you go to Sainsbury's, you know there's food there. You never go home without food. Those who come to Jesus will never hunger. Jesus is the bread shop of life. There's always more to receive. Daily bread. Ordinary bread. This idea of bread, it carries an element of the mundane, of the ordinary. How like Jesus to take ordinary things and compare himself with them. He's light, not just incandescent glory. He's bread, not cake. He's the door, not the palace. Ordinary things. Time and again, Jesus sets himself in the context of the ordinary, the everyday, the vernacular. He will always be amongst the servants and the tradespeople, never amongst kings, not in palaces. Jesus is ordinary bread. And we see in that passage in John 6, the Jews had a real problem with this. How can this ordinary guy, the son of Mary and Joseph, be bread from heaven? He's just an ordinary person. I can't get my head around it. Communion, ordinary bread, and yet somehow God himself. Jesus invades the temple. He goes into the Holy of Holies. He picks up things out of the marketplace, ordinary things, and he goes into the most holy place and sets ordinary things down there. And he picks up holy things and carries them out into the marketplace. He overturns the tables of our minds. He chases out neat understanding of sacred and secular. He tears down the dividing wall between the holy and the ordinary things. If ordinary bread is the body of Christ, nothing is ordinary anymore. If ordinary bread is the body of Christ, nothing is ordinary anymore. So are you an ordinary person? Are people you know ordinary? Work from there. Build an understanding of ordinary people, of ordinary things, of consumerism, of waste, of manual work, of creation. There is nothing ordinary any longer. Daily bread, ordinary bread, chewy bread. There's an element of choosing to receive. If it's air, you breathe. You can't help it. But you have to choose to chew. You have to deliberately receive. Chew and swallow. So with Jesus, we need to choose to receive him every day. It's not simply with us like the air around us. When you became a Christian, you deliberately chose to hand over your life to God, to do what he said, to follow where he led you. That first decision has to be ratified every day. I was going to say, when the stewards invite you out and you walk purposefully towards the bread, I think I'd better say, when you randomly wander around the church looking for somebody to give you bread and wine. When you come out, when you step forward, make it a choosing. Make it a deliberate act, step by step. Yes, Lord, I want to walk closer to you. Yes, I want to choose your way today and not please myself. Yes, I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Yes, if I fall down, I'm going to get straight up again and get back to the Lord. So come forward to receive the bread and the wine. Choose to put one foot in front of the other. Choose to chew. Daily bread, ordinary bread, chewy bread. We've looked at life, we've looked at bread, we must look at eating. My niece has a photo display on a wall in her room. Dozens of photographs placed alongside one another. Favourite places, favourite people, all kinds of things. Just thrown up together like a collage, side by side. And this passage in John 6 is a bit like that. There's lots and lots of images of what it means to come to God. Eating the flesh of the Son of Man. Coming to Jesus. Looking to the Son. Believing in him. There's 9 words there, at least, in that passage. And I want to spend some time in meditation on those at another time. But let's look at three kind of photographs which describe and summarise ways of coming to God. The first one, food for thought. Verse 45 in John 6 shows a classroom. God takes the initiative. He invites you to come into his classroom to learn of him. He teaches you as you listen to him and you learn. God initiates contact. He teaches. We respond by learning together. So how much learning have you been doing? How much food for thought have you been eating? We love God with our mind, with our intellect. Do you study the scriptures? Do you read good Christian books? Do you think about the truth of God? Have you devoted your mind to him? And not just the intellect, but the creativity and the imagination of your mind. Do you feed your mind on the pictures, on the imagery of the scriptures? Do you listen to God? allowing him to lead you in creativity and learning, meditating on what the scripture has to say. If you're feeling malnourished this morning, spiritually hungry, then check out. Have you been feeding on the Lord? Food for thought. He invites you for a meal. Come, there's a table loaded with food for thought here. He invites you. Has he come for bread and wine? Maybe he wants to speak to some of you this morning and fix a meal with you. Get your diary out. Fix a time when you spend some time really chewing on, eating and receiving food for thought. Book an evening. Food for thought. Food for faith. The photo in verse 47, it's a bit abstract. The promise there of everlasting life is for those who believe. It's not enough to be informed, to have your mind full of the things about God. You have to believe them. Actively receiving, chewing on, swallowing the truth. Is your Christianity just social contact? Is it just a moral philosophy? Or is it a faith? Do you really believe and receive for yourself the truth that God loves you, that he died for you? Believe and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. How are you on believing at the moment? Or has faith become a little too neat and tidy for risk and trust? Finally, food for obedience. Verse 38, Jesus says that he is doing the will of the Father. In John 4, verse 34, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Food is doing, obeying. Eating is about obeying. If you're hungry this morning, if you feel spiritually malnourished, how well have you been eating the food of obedience? Sometimes it's like tiny morsels, just small amounts of food. You know, you're sitting in the classical concert and you've got the little sweet, but if you do it well, nobody knows you've taken on board. Tiny morsels that nobody else can see. It's a bit like that with obedience sometimes. All kinds of things which God asks you to do, which nobody knows about. But you know, whether you're eating the food of obedience. And sometimes the food of obedience is like a huge meal, costs you an arm and a leg. It's that French place in Beeston, about £80 a meal. You remember it for ages afterwards. Really big step of obedience. A big feast. And sometimes Jesus wants to put down in front of us a big meal of obedience. Will you eat it? Are you receiving the small things? The tiny morsels of obedience? Are you doing it? And the big things. So as you come forward, remember Jesus in the garden. Not my will, but yours. I will drain this cup. He promises to eat and to drink the food of obedience. Let's follow in his footsteps. So are you eating the bread of life this morning? Come and receive. Let's pray.